to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all of that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we have ought to have done. The important part of that verse, the message out of that verse, is increase our faith. And if you ever wonder what a mustard seed looks like, I've got my mustard seed on today. You can look at that on the way out. It's a little tiny seed, but that little tiny seed will grow into a tree that can be about 15 feet tall and very full and has lots of mustard flowers or seeds, whatever you want to call them. If you open one of the little mustard pods, you will see tons of these little tiny seeds. And Jesus is trying to encourage those disciples that it doesn't take that much faith. Little tiny bit of faith and you can do great things just like that great big mustard tree. There's a Presbyterian pastor named David Wilkinson tells a funny story about Randy Johnson, who was a former quarterback for Oklahoma State University, also happens to be the nephew of the late President Lyndon Johnson. It had not been a good year for Oklahoma State University. They hadn't done real well. They were at their last game, and they were playing the University of Oklahoma Sooners. Tough team. They really didn't expect to do very well. And it got down to the last few seconds of the game, and they were losing. Coach didn't think they were going to win, so he called timeout, sent in all the seniors so that they could say that they played the last game of their senior year, told Randy Johnson, do whatever play you want because we're not going to win anyway. Well, Randy Johnson called play number 13, a play that they had never done before because they hadn't done very well in practice. And it turns out this trick play that they called actually got down to the goal line and won the game. And everybody's cheering and going on about how great this was and putting Randy up on their shoulders. And the coach asks him, why did you choose play 13? We never could make it work. Why would you choose play 13? And Randy says, well, coach, we were all in the huddle, and I looked over at the other guys, and I saw Harry with tears running down his cheeks, and he has a number 8 on his uniform. And then I looked over at Ralph, and he's got tears running down his cheeks, and he's got a number 7 on his uniform. And so I added them together and called play 13. He thought for a moment. The coach said, 8 and 7 do not add up to 13. And so Randy looked at the coach and he says, you're right, coach. And if I had been as smart as you, we would have lost the game. Funny things happen to us in our lives. Things happen that you don't really expect to happen. But if you believe enough and you trust enough, you can make them happen. But it's not about how smart you are. Preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick tells another story about a young man at a university who left a manuscript with his professor, wanted him to read it, but it was only one chapter. He told him it wouldn't take him very long, and it was an explanation of the universe. I'd love to read an explanation of the universe. It's tough enough in church to explain where Abel and Cain got their wives. But this guy thought he could explain the universe. Albert Einstein's wife was asked one day if she understood what her husband was talking about. She said, "No, I understand all the words, but I don't understand the sentences." Didn't really matter whether she did or not. Just like it doesn't really matter whether we understand the universe, whether we understand what's going on. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we trust in God and that we have faith that He's going to take care of us. He is going to do those things that we believe can be done. Just like talking earlier about this bequeathment from the Miller estate. Here we were trying to find ways to make repairs on this church. We decided we were going to raise money for the roof. God saw our effort and rewarded us because we had faith that we could raise the money for the roof. And I hope we can still raise the money for the roof and leave that other for other things that need to be done to the church. But the point is, because we had the faith that we could raise the money, we had the faith that we could repair the roof, that God saw that and rewarded us for it because we trusted in Him. Over the past 20 years or so, we've gained a lot of knowledge, mainly because of the advent of the computer. They say that a child born today, by the time they go to college, there will be four times the amount of knowledge they have right now. By the time the child born today turns 50, they will have 32 times as much knowledge as we have today. They believe about 97% of what we know of the world. We're getting all kinds of knowledge from our scientific world, all kinds of explanations for why things are the way they are, why they happen the way they happen. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that we have faith. What matters is that we believe God is making these things happen. God is taking care of us. God is still in control of our world. There are those in the secular community that would tell you that's baloney. But God is still in control. As terrible as things may seem to be getting, the Bible even tells us these things must happen before the end. So God knows about all this stuff. These things are happening according to a plan. And it's because we believe in God and we have faith in God. It is not about how much we know. It is not about how smart we think we are. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:27, St. Paul says, God chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. And if you read that in other translations, it basically says, the smartest thing that we think we know is but a foolish whim of God. We're not ever going to be so smart that we can outsmart God. So we need to be aware that we have to have faith to make things happen. We have to trust in God. We are not saved by what we know. We are saved by what we believe. There's a director, a film director, who was asked one day by a student, what do I need to know in order to be a great film director? This director looked at the student. He says, well, you need to speak several languages, understand history, have some knowledge of psychiatry, and it would also be handy to have a love for theater and drama. So the student turned the question around, and he said, well, Mr. Sternberg, were you aware of all these things when you started to direct? And he looked at the student, he said, no, but then I was never asked how to become a director either. We don't need to worry about how to get there. All we need to worry about is that if we want to get there, and it is God's will, it will happen. It's all we need to know. We don't have to know the ins and outs of everything in our world. If we believed strongly enough, this little tiny bit of faith, if we had that and didn't have those inherent doubts that we as human beings seem to have, we could, as Jesus said, move mountains. But we don't believe it can happen, no matter how much faith we think we have. We've always got that little thought in the back of our head was, no, because logically, that can't happen. But if we'd get rid of all that knowledge, that logic, that smartness that we think we have, and just believe that if I told that mountain to move a mile to the west, it would go. But we seem to have problems with faith. We profess to have all kinds of faith, but when it comes right down to it, we kind of chicken out. And it's also not about our commitments. It's not about good works. Anybody that's out there in our secular world and says, well, I do this for this organization, and I do this for this organization, and I give money here, and I give money there, and I am a good person, and that's all that matters. No. Commitment is not all that matters. It's about faith. It's about believing in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how good you are or how good you think you are, it's about faith. There's a Franciscan friar that kind of got himself into suffering, thinking that because of his commitment to suffering, he was going to be saved. For 40 years, he slept sitting up for only an hour and a half. He wouldn't have been able to lay down anyway because the little room they had him in was only about 4.5 feet long. But he would sleep sitting up with his head against a piece of wood that had been pushed into the wall. He didn't wear anything but a habit and a mantle of very coarse fabric. His head and feet were always bare, regardless of the weather. He fasted 2 out of every 3 days. He was so weak that you could see his bones. Somebody commented he seemed to look like the roots of trees. He appeared very old, but it was his self-discipline that made him look that way. It wasn't his age. He was only 59, but looked twice that old. When he spoke, people loved to hear him talk. But he didn't speak very often, didn't know people around him. People that he'd lived with for years didn't even know them people. He had it in his mind that because he was committed to God, because he went through this suffering for God, that's what he needed to do. God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to have a good life. Yeah, there's going to be problems here and there, just like Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come. Life is not always going to be a bed of roses. You're going to hit a pothole every once in a while, but that's just the way it is. All in all, God wants you to have a good life. And the way to get that good life is to believe he will do that. Believe in Jesus. Have faith. Know that things will work out no matter how rough you think they are. I'm sure we've all had experiences where we didn't know if we were going to be able to put food on the table tomorrow, whether we were going to be able to pay our bills or some little something. And all of a sudden, you might get a check in the mail because of a lawsuit against a bank that you didn't even know was going on. Or walking through a parking lot, you see a $20 bill laying on the ground, and that's just the amount that you need. God takes care of us. He provides for us. When you get into those situations, and if you just trust him, he'll take care of it. There's a story of a young pastor whose dad was also a pastor. He remembers from when he was young sitting around the dinner table. They didn't have a whole lot. They were kind of struggling. And sitting there at the table, his mother made the comment to his dad, "We don't have the money to pay the bills. What are we going to do?" And he said he will always remember. His dad put his elbows up on the table and he says, "Well, I have trusted in God for 40 years. I am not about to stop trusting in Him now." And that's important. Trusting Him no matter what. You don't think you're going to be able to pay your bills? Do you have faith that God's going to provide for you? Those bills will get taken care of one way or another. Because God provides for us. Everything happens in a precise time, a precise amount of things. Many of you might remember back in the 60s when Russia put Sputnik in space, and the American government was so worried because they thought the Soviets were going to win the space race because they hadn't been able to do that. Arthur Clarke explained what the problem was the rocket has to, give or take, hit 25,000 miles an hour to break free from the gravity, but no faster than that to keep from shooting off into space. And they kept missing the mark by about 2%. 2% made that difference. Just like that little tiny bit of faith makes that difference. It's funny because right after Sputnik, the Russians tried to put some kind of a rover of sorts, a lander, an unmanned lander on the moon, and they went a little bit over that 25,000 miles per hour, and that thing went straight past the moon all the way to the sun. That's how delicate that is. And that's how delicate faith is. You have to fully trust, even a tiny bit, you have to fully trust that God is going to take care of you through that faith. We have to have faith in who we are. We have to have faith in God's providence for us. We have to know that He will do what we ask Him to do, unless He thinks it's going to harm us. That's the God's will part. One of my favorite quotes, it's on my church business card. It says, "Faith is not believing God can. Faith is knowing God will." Think about that for a minute. Faith is not just believing that He can do it. Faith is knowing that He will do it for you. That's the kind of faith we need. That's the kind of faith that brings us closer to God. That's the kind of faith that takes care of our church, that takes care of all of you. That little bit of faith, that trust and hope in God. And that's all it takes. We need to learn to get rid of that doubting Thomas that sits in the back of our head telling us, "No, it ain't." Because it is. Faith is knowing God will. We have to remember that. Repeat that in our minds. Faith is knowing God will. And the Bible tells you whatever you ask of Him, He will do for you, including if you want that mountain moved a mile to the west. He'll do that for you if you believe. Trust Him, and He will take care of you. All it takes is that tiny bit of faith to make great things happen. Amen?